All right, Kevin. Are you prepared to apologize to the khakis today?
What do you think?
After all that talk about underlying numbers with George Springer, I got your underlying numbers. 2 home runs, 6 RBIs. That's pretty underlying.
Yeah, you know what that's called, Jeff? That's called old school baseball. About the last week, I've talked about direction and timing of the lower half. To hit 96 twice in 97, you got to be looking for it. That's the only way you're going to hit it. You ain't going to hit it looking for a breaking ball, adjusting to 97. You got to go up there and look for it. He looked for it 3 times, Jeff. 3 times. He's calibrating at his first bat because he got 4 of them, and the fourth one he hit to the moon. That's how you do it, buddy. Like, you got to go up and look for it. Last week, he's had good direction. He's been on time for the fastball. You chase the curveball a lot of the times because you're looking for it. He's hitting 165 off the breaking ball, 150 off the off-speed. Every once in a while, all you got to do is go a little old school. What you hitting off of certain pitches? If I know like you a couple, I don't look for them anymore. Baseball 101, buddy, got nothing to do with khakis. You're welcome.
Wow. I mean, you're coming in hot.
Well, I knew you was going to ask me this, so I wrote it all down.
Of course you did. I know you did. 416-870-0590. It's not my first rodeo. Star 591, 888-666-0590. It is a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. The Blue Jays, 9-2, they have beaten the New York Yankees, the first of a 4-game series. And, Kevin, you know, so much of the talk today was about the short-term and long-term future of this team. Let's face it, it has not been a great year for the Blue Jays. Ross Atkins did the rounds today, did his media availabilities today. Most of the questions were about Vladdy, Bo, the future, John Schneider's job status, his job status, Mark Shapiro's job status. I mean, they were the type of questions you generally get on October 2nd after you've missed the playoffs. Not usually, not in this city at least, on June 27th. So having said all that, Jose Berríos comes out, 7 innings, 8 strikeouts, 2 runs allowed. Probably not the most dominant we've seen him this year. First pitch strikes were just were so-so. But if you wanted a guy on the mound on one of those days, because this was one of those days for the Blue Jays and Blue Jays fans, Jose Berríos would be the guy I would think you want out there. Going about his business, getting it done.
Absolutely. Well, scoring first helps, right? And coming into the game, you're thinking to yourself, how do I get Soto and Judge out? How do I not let them two guys beat you? They were 0-for-6 off Berríos. That's a big deal, right? The lefties he's been facing in his last 5 starts, Baltimore, the Brewers, the Guardians, twice, the Yankees, all got a bunch of lefties, right? That means you got to be good arm side with 2 different fastballs, right? A couple of them games, he's throwing more 4-seamers than he was sinker. He's a sinker slurve guy. Sometimes when you got to go outside the box and sort of manipulate the different movement on the slurve, right? Make it look more like a curveball than a slurve because you're facing a lot of lefties. You got to use now your 4-seamer more than your sinker. You start losing a little bit of your lanes. You start losing a little bit of your release point. You leave balls down the middle. That's why he's been giving up the homers. Tonight, he went to his strength with his 2 fastballs, and he was locating them. And for the most part, he didn't miss with it. I think that's the key, right? And now the changeup. When the changeup's down, he's got that tunneling. It's got the nice little variance in speeds between the 2 fastballs. He's a really good pitcher. It's just those, all the lefties he's faced, Jeff, in June, with all them different teams, all them good teams, right? They got balanced lineups. You got to work quadrants. Sometimes you miss. Sometimes you try and be too fine with the fastball, and that's sort of what's been happening. And I think he got the lead. He attacked more because he had the lead. That's a huge deal. Everybody we've talked to said, get him the lead. They'll go after people. They're really good. Most of the time, you're going to win those games. Berríos is no different. So I think that's the difference. Score first. The 2 fastball commands are much better. That way, he doesn't have to manipulate break spin on the slurve. He can just throw it the way he wants to throw it. And then the good changeup down, that's the equalizer. So it's just exactly what the doctor ordered, buddy.
As always, the numbers to call are 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. You want to talk about Jose Berríos, George Springer. You want to talk about Ross Atkins and his media availabilities today. I mean, people always want to talk about that. I mean, that's basically all we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks. Maybe you want to talk about the Yankees. Yankees have some issues, Kevin. Now, they're coming in. They were 2-8 in their last 10. I believe they're now tied with the Orioles for first place. I think the Orioles won tonight. They were 2-8 in their last 10, coming off a series against the Mets, where the Mets kind of took them to the woodshed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the lineup today, I mean, Judge and Soto are scary. But after that, I mean, I see a lot of 261s, 209s, 238s.
And they ain't really got a first baseman. They ain't really got a second baseman. Their third baseman's struggling. Like, they got some everyday guys, right? The lineup doesn't have as much length as we thought it would. That's what I said. If you're Barrios, you're thinking, I get the lead, I can pound, I can make my quality pitches against them two behemoths in the middle of the order. I get them two dudes out. It should be cruise control, and that's exactly what it was. So, you know, again, this is a marathon, not a sprint. We said this today on our show. You know, it's even good teams go through these. It's just you got to ride them out. You got to, you know, work your way through it. And the pitching, I think, is something the Yankees got to lean on. When they ain't got the pitching, it sort of shows the weaknesses in their everyday guys. And right now, that's sort of showing up. And let's face it, the Mets are hot. And right now, the Blue Jays ain't got nothing to lose. So, you know, sometimes that don't bode well for a team that's really good. And right now, the Yankees are going through it. So, I'm sure they'll figure it out. I'm sure Cashman will go out and make the moves he's supposed to make. And they'll be right there at the end of the season where they're supposed to be.
Now, the Jays had 5 runs across the plate before the first out of the game. They had batted around again. That's the second time in as many days. Of course, the final game in that Boston series was suspended due to rain. What did you see from Carlos Rodon today? Or what?
Yeah, I
didn't
think the Blue
Jays, see from him?
I think they had a good approach. I think they were looking fastball. Like, why would you ever go up against the lefty that throws that hard and look anything other than the fastball, Jeff? Like, again, you got to calibrate. I've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now. You got to get the foot down early. You want to maximize 3 things as a hitter, right? It's your torque, your balance, and your bat speed. And the only way you do that should be on time with your front foot and your hands. When those 2 things are on time, it maximizes those 3 things I just mentioned. And that's sort of, I think, these innings early, the last couple of games, is what the Blue Jays are doing. What they were doing and preaching wasn't working. Now you got to mix it up and try something different. It just looks to me like a lineup 1 through 9 is going up, sitting velocity. And it's not because they can't. It's just because, for me anyway, they haven't been. And that's a big difference. So hopefully, again, these certain guys that are doing this can continue to do it and do it early. Jeff, you can just see it on the pitcher's face when they score in the first inning or the third inning, how easy it is just to go out there and attack. I give up a hit, I give up a homer, so what? It's 9-2 or 5-0. So that's how you do it, right? It's you got to simplify your approach because, well, obviously what they were doing hasn't been working.
Of Vladdy's last 11 hits, what are we at now? We're at 8 of them have been for extra bases, 3 home runs, 3 doubles, and a couple of singles mixed in there. Same thing we've seen from Vladdy in the past couple of games. We saw tonight as well. The same finish, the same, you know, you've talked about the lower half of his body. Are you seeing all that stuff again tonight? Like, can we say, has Vladdy come out of this, Kevin? Has Vladdy come out of this?
Yeah, I think consistently if he swings at a strike, because he is crap in talent, that's just it. It's like, dude, he just can't walk around without showing off a little bit with the way he does things offensively and just the bat speed. And point of contact for him is huge because of the bat path, right? It is, you got to catch things out in front of the front leg, right? Right in front of the front knee is where everything's got to get frisky. And all that stuff that takes place before his foot actually hits the ground is a lot of timing. And I just think the last 2.5 weeks, things been on point. And you're seeing, no matter how hard they throw it, he can beat them to the spot if he's swinging at a strike. That is key there. You have talent like nobody business. Now it's just refining what you don't swing at. If you can control that, Jeff, man alive. Like, it is just, it's sky's the limit. So hopefully he can do that again, and maybe George can continue to do that thing. And maybe Bo will turn the corner and maybe not be quite as aggressive, looking a certain quarter until you get to 2 strikes and then battle. And if those 3 guys can get a hot all at the same time, who knows, Jeff?
Yeah, we also had a, I thought, a rather funny moment. I think it was the fifth inning where Aaron Boone came out to talk to Carlos Rodon, and Phil Bickford came running in from the bullpen and said, no, we're not making that, move yet. I mean, clearly, Aaron Boone went, I'm sure Aaron Boone went out to Carlos Rodon and said, look, we just get us through this inning. Let's get this done, like, and then go on from there. Or do you think, did Rodon talk him into leaving him in?
I'm sure he said, yeah, I got 100 pitches. Let me throw 100 pitches. You know, they know where they're at last night. They got their tails whipped. They got their tails whipped the last couple of nights. They've used their bullpen probably when they didn't want to use it as much. You know, Rodon gotten off to the slow little start there in the first inning, used up a bunch of pitches, right? I mean, he was better after the first inning, you know. And, again, I just think that's sort of a veteran move where, you know, Skip, I know what we're doing here. Let me wear this one for another inning. I can get us through this, and hopefully this will help us going forward. So, yeah, you know, sometimes I think you got to have good communication with your players, and Booney's got it.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Jays emerging victorious, the first game of a four-game series against the New York Yankees. Old friend Marcus Stroman takes the mound for the Yankees tomorrow against Yusei Kikuchi. There'll be a ton of eyes, I would imagine, on Yusei Kikuchi because he generally pitches well against the Yankees. And, you know, everything we've talked about today, if you're a playoff team and you've got eyes – possibly facing the Yankees at some point. You may want a guy who's had a track record of success. Against him. Gary in Vancouver, you're on Blue Jays Talk. Thanks for your patience, man.
Is that me?
No, it's Jeff. You're you.
Jeff, and just between you and I and the rest of your listeners, I'm going to put a bit of a damper on this whole thing. I listened to it. George Springer had a great game, but that does not mean very much considering how bad of a year he's had. I like the guy, but I was listening to your program at between 1 and 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time today, and I heard Atkins' interview. I don't care what he said. He's made 3 or 4, maybe 5 trades that have been absolutely terrible. Teoscar Hernandez is now playing for the Dodgers, and he's having a terrific year.
He's probably going to go to the All-Star game.
Thank you, and I'm going to say this: he has dismantled the entire team. And he's talking like a lawyer. Goodbye. Get somebody. I'm not talking about Schneider's fine. But the general manager. I'm not talking about my dad being firing people or anything else. I'm just saying this: a bad team wins 9-2, and then they lose a couple. They win a couple. This is not a good team. We also played the Yankees are entry plagued right now. So come on, let's get real. We won 9-2.
Yeah, but you've got to be happy with a 9-2 win, Gary. Come on,
Where are we located right now? Are we something called the basement? When we are 3 or 4 games above 500. I'll think about it, but right now, no thanks. I'll watch it, but that's it. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate the call as long as you're watching it.
Hear, hear.
I mean, you know, look, we had our chat with Ross Atkins. Ross Atkins did his media availability today. You know, Kevin, I think it's pretty clear, and you know, you heard it, Ben and Chris both talking about it on the radio broadcast today, and I know Joe and Dan talked about it on the telecast as well, and they talked about it on Blue Jay Central. I mean, this is a big series for this team. I don't think anybody, even if the Jays were to sweep the Yankees, I don't think anybody's going to sit there and necessarily mean they're out of the woods. But you got the Yankees in Houston, and you really got the sense today from hearing Ross talk that they've, you know, they're starting, reality has started to bite these guys a little bit. I think this is the first time that I kind of got that impression that they're preparing for, you know, they're preparing for the inevitability that this isn't going to work out, that this team is going to need to either be torn down or some sort of retooling, rebuild, whatever phrase. I mean, Ross had the idea that there's three paths, right? Hold. He didn't say this, but it was sort of suggesting sell, buy, or hold on to what you have. I still think at the end of the day they're more likely to hold. That's just me. But it's and Ross had to say it's a big series. I mean, yeah, as I said, even if they sweep, they're not out of the woods. But you look around baseball, and by my count, there have been six teams this year that we thought were dead and buried, and all of them are back in the playoff race right now because that's what the wild card has wrought. There have been a lot of cities where they were ready to pack it in, and they look at it now, and oh, my God, we're like a game and a half out of the wild card. So let's just see where this thing goes in the next couple of days. The Yankees are a team that's in front of you. Houston's a team that's in front of you. Let's just see where this thing goes in the next couple of days, I think, before we jump off the deep end.
Yeah, it sounds to me like that Ross in the front office has basically tried everything they know to try. I think, at least for me anyway, that's what it sounds like. And now it's up for the superstars that they call superstars in the lineup to show up, just like the teams you just mentioned have showed up.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Let's hear the skipper, John Schneider, on George Springer's big night, 6 RBI, 2 home runs.
George will be the first one to tell you, it's been a rough go. And, to his credit, continuing to work, adjusting some things in his work, and then just having the conversations that not everyone gets to hear that we have every single day leads you to believe that he's turn the corner a little bit. So we're talking about a really, really good player. So today was a good day. Boston was a good day, and you got to do it again tomorrow. I really just think that there's been, again, a lot of things that people don't get to see or hear every single day that we do that have led me to say the things I have the last couple weeks, and really good night from him.
That is John Schneider. I will say this. John Schneider said about a week ago that he thought George Springer was turning the corner. And quite frankly, I think, Kevin, both you and I looked at each other and went, okay. And it was clearly the manager having his players back. But if George Springer has turned a corner, John Schneider gets credit for being the first guy to point that out.
Jeff, I think every really good hitter at the big league level should be able to hit the fastball. That's where this thing starts, right? I mean, stop, at least to me anyway, and the people that I've talked to, he's a big educated guesser. Like, he goes up and tries to guess a lot. Numbers will say this year they ain't working. Look for the old good number one. It's straight in your zone. Put your best A swing on it you can put on it and see where it lies. And I think that's what John is talking about, and hopefully they continue to do that and it plays out the way everybody wants it to play it.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. This is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker. We'll be back on the other side.
Yeah, it carries over a little bit. I think that it kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit that we're scoring some runs lately, and hopefully it carries over. I mean, they got good starting pitching between, Stroh and then Cortez and Cole. So it's going to be a battle every single night. But when you're playing every day, it's nice to have a little bit of momentum and to get guys feeling good.
That also helps when you score 5 runs before you get the first out of the game. It's the first time the Jays have done that since sometime in September 2021. So that's pretty much what the doctor ordered. We've spent a lot of time talking about that this year, this team's inability to score runs in the first inning. And tonight it was, that was impressive. It was like a whirlwind right out of the gate for Carlos Rodon. And really got the sense that he righted the ship probably until the third inning. They added on 3 more runs in the second on another home run by George Springer. And Springer with 6 RBI. in two innings, which is pretty good work.
About time.
Chris in Edmonton, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, nice to talk.
Hey, Chris,
Blair,
what's up?
Barker. Feeling all right. I'm getting a little tired of hearing you talk about the Oilers when the Jets had a. What happened to the Jets? Did they get knocked out in the first round? I think they did.
Yeah, more than likely.
Anyway,
I mean, it happens.
Anyway.
But, you know, Paul Maurice has promised them a Stanley Cup next year, so I'll take
that.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess another thing, I'm getting tired of all the pessimism. We've had enough pessimism as Blue Jays fans this year. That earlier caller, I mean, when you got Springer kind of getting off the schneid, he's got three homers in his last three games here. You got Vladdy going. He's got two homers his last three games here. Barrios throws a gem. I know it's a slog. We got six games to get back to 500 now. I mean, it's going to be a battle, but hey, I don't know. Maybe there's signs of life in this team. You never know.
Yeah, you know, thanks for the call. Here's the thing. It's I get what I understand why callers. I mean, this is. I made this point today with Ross. This the last couple of years, this team has won fewer regular season games than it hasn't won a postseason game. Like since 2015, 2016, this is no longer about playing meaningful games in September. This is about going to the playoffs, hopefully winning a playoff series, and eventually getting a World Series. And I think a lot of people, Kevin, felt like me. I mean, I looked at the riches this organization had with Bo and Vladdy. I looked at the pitching they had. I looked at how committed ownership was, and I thought, and I'll admit this, I thought we'd be celebrating. I don't know if I thought we'd be celebrating a World Series win while Vladdy and Bo were here, because anything can happen once you get into the playoffs. But I thought there'd be at least an American League title and maybe a trip to the World Series. Mm-hmm. And I think fans are like that as well. And you know, I guarantee you this. I don't think at any point anybody thought that this team would be six games under 500 at this point of the year, even with the offseason the Jays had. You couldn't find anybody. You look at and I'm not just including us. You look at the national media in the United States, the number of people that thought the Jays were going to be a contender. So I get why. I completely understand why fans are feeling the way that they feel. But you are right. Yeah, 9-2 win over the Yankees is nothing to sneeze at, and we've seen the past couple of games that the Blue Jays won games the way they're designed to win games, and I think maybe you got to take something from that. But having said that, absolutely the fans have a right to be frustrated and you know, not exactly brimming with confidence right now.
Yeah, I ain't taking up for Ross in the front office, but I think you can see with what's happened the last couple of days with the way Vladdy's starting to look and Joe, baby George Springer is, you know, going to do a little something this year, that you could close your eyes and go, man, the way you pitch, the way you play outfield defense, most of the time you don't beat yourself on the bases. What if your stars were your stars for some quite bit of a time, which is – you know, sort of what I think the front office was banking on. And, you know, I don't think they banked on a collapse of the Kirks and the, you know, Bo Bichette's getting off to the start and the George Springer's obviously. And again, I think fans maybe are tired of always looking at the bad part of these teams. And it's fun watching dudes go back leg city. It just is, Jeff.
Yeah,
and the more they do it, the more you want to watch them do it.
That is the other point, you know. You got to remember what people got used to in 2015 and 2016.
Bombs.
They got used to a lot of home runs. They got used to a team that played with real swagger. They got used to a team that had a home field advantage.
Bullies,
exactly. And they just, you know, the past couple of years they've been sold run prevention, and run prevention is boring. It's not entertaining. And I understand that the way the game has gone right now, in general, offense is down. I get all that. But, you know, the Jays, as much as offense is down, the Jays' offense is down even more relative to what we're seeing in the rest of the game. And, you know, it's, again, 2015, 2016 created a whole new generation of fans, brought a whole bunch of people back to the ballpark, and you know, once you get him back, you got to keep him here. And the ballpark's great. The renovations are wonderful. But you also, you know, you got fans back in here because they had exciting winning baseball with players that they could relate to. And right now, you don't get the same vibe at the ballpark. You really don't. Gil in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. Happy win night.
Yeah, happy win night for sure. Let's make it two in
exactly.
a row at least.
Yeah, or two and a half. I mean, there was a hot shower day there in Boston, which I just came back from. I was there for the three games, or two and a half. You know what? I noticed in the second game, I was sitting pretty close behind home plate and saw Vladdy hit that monster home run over the Green Monster. And I was,
that's
it looked
something,
like a,
isn't it?
It was insane. I've never been to Fenway, and seeing that it looked like an old baseball painting, the way he just sort of stared at it and walked slowly. And, of course, that was a heartbreaker of a game. But
you know what's amazing? I'm just going to jump in that because I want to tell people something. You probably, you know, there is something about, because the press box seats at Fenway are great. They're high up. And I was trying to explain to someone the other day, it's a one ballpark. You can see a ball disappear. Like that, there's still something about that. When you watch that ball leave the stadium and you think about it, the ball disappeared. That doesn't happen in a lot of places.
No, it was incredible, and it was everything I hoped for. But the main thing was, obviously, that game turned out to be a heartbreaker. The next game was incredible. I lost my voice a bit from screaming, and that's the point I'm getting to based on what you guys were just saying and the previous caller. Just give me something to cheer for. Like, I will scream until I lose my voice. I just want to have a good time. I want an entertaining product, and I want to give you guys kudos for the interview today with Ross, because I think diplomatically but aggressively you came at him with the questions a lot of fans have. I do think that he kind of sneaked around some questions. I feel like I walk away feeling a little at ease, but still no new information. But that's from him. But I really appreciated the way you guys came at it. And just my only question is based on what he said, do you think, it seems to me like they're not really going to be signing either Vladdy or Bo long-term. Like, it was, I mean, you asked him that directly, and he sort of skirted the issue to the point where he got to free agency in his answer. So anyway, I'm going to hang up, but that was what I wanted to know, and thanks, guys.
Thanks, Gil. I appreciate the kind words. I mean, look, I think Ross, no general manager is going to come out and say, okay, Jeff, Kevin, here's what I'm going to do. One, I'm going to trade Bo to the Dodgers for, you know, blah, 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 blah. Two, I'm going to try to sign Vladdy. Three, I'm going to try. I mean, they're not going to come out and give you all their details, nor should they, frankly. All you can do is ask the questions you think fans want asked and be respectful. And, you know, as I said on the show, and Kevin, I think you feel the same way. Look, I mean, I'm not a journalist. I gave up being a journalist when I left newspapers. I'm a talk show host. And I think part of my job is to ask the questions that I think fans want to hear answered. I'm not going to come on and say, hey, Ross, you know, I think you should be fired. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask him questions. And you know, I think that's what we both did, and I appreciate the I appreciate the comments, Gil. And yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, I don't need Ross Atkins to tell me that the chances of Bo and Vladdy signing here are slim. We've been saying it for years.
Yeah,
you know, for a couple of years.
Jeff, what if Vladdy turns it around and has a monster rest of the season?
I mean, listen, this is why I've been saying for a couple of weeks, I don't care if they don't trade either of them this year. I don't care if that means that by hanging on to Bo and Vladdy and then addressing it in the offseason, I'm not going to get as much in return as I'm going to get otherwise. I'm not ready to make that leap right now. And I'll tell you this, if Vladdy keeps this going, and I don't think Vladdy's going to sign here. I think that train left the station a couple of years ago. But if he keeps this going, you have to have a talk with him, because you know what? If you close your eyes and imagine this team without Bo, without Vladdy, without Romano, without Jansen, without Garcia, without Kikuchi, I mean, you got to put a team in the field next year, and you got nothing in the minors that's going to help you. I mean, let's face it, you don't. I mean, folks, you you can't back up the truck. So yeah, I'm hoping that they take a shot at signing at least one of these guys. I really do. Speaking of that, Kevin, I just want to go. John Schneider was asked about a tweet from Hazel May earlier today, where she asked Bo about whether or not he would be surprised if he was traded with the trade deadline coming up, and Bo said no, that he would not be surprised. This was John Schneider when asked about that.
My reaction is that every single guy in the clubhouse is focused on turning this around and trying to win every single day. Other than that, you know, I don't have much reaction to it. It's, you know, we've kind of gotten ourselves into this spot, you know, so our focus every day is to come out and win. We're going to do it again tomorrow.
That's
it's a big league answer. I think that's what
you're trying to say. It is a big league answer. It's absolutely a big league answer.
Yeah.
It's the way I would expect a major league manager to answer a question. Does that mean that Bo is checked out? I don't want people to, you know, because there are people out there who'll make that leap. I don't think that's the case at all. You know, you've talked to Bo. Caleb's talked to Bo a lot. I've talked to him less than you guys. I think I have a pretty good handle on the guy. I mean, one of the reasons I really, really like Bo Bichette is he can be brutally honest with you. He can be absolutely honest with you. And he's not going to look you in the eye and lie. So he was asked a question. He gave an honest answer. And that doesn't, as I said, that doesn't mean he's checked out. That doesn't mean he's asked for a trade. May not even mean that he wants a trade. But he gave an honest answer to an honest question. And
yeah, but you got to admit that there's a reason why he said that. Like, they're
yeah, because he's being honest.
There's something going on, right? It's either relationships or, you know, not happy or whatever it is.
No, well, I mean, I think what's going on is he can read the internet, and he's seen reports that the Dodgers are interested in him. I don't think it's anything necessarily beyond that. I think the guy's got it figured out. He signed a 3-year contract with this team.
Yeah.
And there's been no movement towards a multi-year deal. And I've made this point often. You've got that 3 years. That's your building block for a multi-year contract. You know what Bo and his agents think he's worth for the next 2 years. You've got it in paper. You're paying him. All right. If we agree that you're worth this in 2025, what are you worth in 2026, 2027, 2028? If you want to get a guy signed, it's not hard to build off that. It really isn't. Anyhow. The Jays won 9-2.
Love it.
They play again tomorrow.
Homers.
Marcus Stroman, Yusei Kikuchi.
Yeah.
You know Stroh's going to be ready.
Yeah, don't stop looking for the hater. Continue to look for the hater. That's it. Simple.
9-2, the Blue Jays have beaten the New York Yankees, first of a 4-game series. 7:07 is the first pitch tomorrow night. We got to run. Thanks for joining us on Blue Jays Talk. As always, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Collingwood and Orangeville. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.